We've been teaching a series. My little pointer thingy is not working so well. And this doesn't seem to be working. That's all right. Are we frozen in time here? It's just some things are just acting up today. I'll tell you, first we get into the music, and the music wants to stop on us. And now the computer wants to stop on us. Well, you know what? We will continue with this teaching. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We were teaching long before we had the computer set up, so we will continue to teach now that the computer is not set up. But we've been teaching on a series to stop playing the blame game or to take responsibility for yourself. This is the third part of the series. Maybe we might have one more next week. But we noticed that there are like six areas in which we have a tendency to put the blame off of us and put it on others when we sin. We like to blame our other people, or we blame God, or we blame the devil, or we blame our circumstances, or we blame our racial ethnicity or our orientation, or we blame our mental condition. We might take these six areas and excuse ourselves for our behavior by blaming these six things. There may be more, but those are the six that I believe that the Lord gave to me personally to address this particular congregation. The past couple of weeks, we dealt with the fact that some of us blame other people, and we dealt with a number of categories under that area, and we did not do an exhaustive study. If you were to read what I've written on the subject, I have over 73 of those things, and we only dealt with a very few, and we're only dealing with a very few in this series. But there are so many areas in which the devil has deceived us into blaming anything other than ourselves for what we do. And then last week we talked about how we blame God, and we looked at a number of areas in which God gets the blame for what we do. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. This week we're going to talk about how we have a tendency to blame the devil for everything that goes on in our lives and our behavior. Now, if you were here with me several weeks ago, you heard me teach on the series that Satan is our true enemy. Praise God. Amen. So you know that I do believe in the devil. I believe in it, or in other words, I believe in his existence. I believe in the existence of demons. I believe that they taunt and harass people. They possess people. And they even taunt and harass Christians. Amen? The Bible says that we are in a spiritual warfare. So, all of these things are true. I acknowledge them and I believe them. So, when you hear the message today, I want you to understand that I am not speaking against the truth of any of these things that we're going to be dealing with. What I am speaking against is the idea of blaming all of our behavior primarily on the devil. Amen? Amen. You see, if you are not born again, then the devil has you. But if you are a born again, blood bought, and dare I say, for some of us, spirit filled Christian, then you have no business claiming that the devil made you sin. You have no business saying it. If you sin, it is because you sin. It is because you did it. The devil may entice, he may taunt, but you still make the decision as to whether or not you sin. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at our foundation text. Beginning at verse 8. And it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me. See, first thing the man did in sin was blame somebody else. Put the responsibility on somebody else for what he did. Many of us do that today. We blame our spouses. We blame this person. We blame. I lost my temper because she just don't be acting right. So I had to just slap her one time just to show her what it's like. Let her know I'm the man. No, you sinned. That's what you did. And you're going to be, if you want to be a man, you learn not to hit your woman. Amen? Let me tell you something, young ladies. Any man that ever hits you, he is not worthy of you. Any man who puts his hand on you, you come and talk to me and I will help you pack. I will go to your house and we will pack your clothes and get you out of there. Because he ain't worthy. And if he did it once, he'll do it again.
Amen.
So don't sit there and get abused. Well, if I pray, maybe it'll work it out. Yeah, pray. Pray from a distance. Don't be getting there, getting some. And my wife kept hitting me upside the head with a pan. Do you think I'm going to stay in that house? I will leave.
No, you don't leave.
Oh, I will leave. I will leave you. I won't divorce you, but I will leave you. I will pray for you. Glory to God. So ladies, be careful of these guys who tell you they love you, and they love you by beating you. That is not love. That's not love. This is a personal thing to me because I've seen it happen too many times. I grew up around that kind of foolishness. Love means dealing with the situation in a godly manner. Praise God.
Amen.
And there are Christians, people who say they're Christians and they're beating on their wives. That's something I don't understand. I just don't understand that. Anyway, let's move on. And then he, not only does he blame the woman, but then he goes on to blame God. He says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. In other words, you gave me this woman. It's your fault. If you hadn't brought her here, then I wouldn't have had to, I wouldn't have felt into this temptation. But no, God, you had to make this fine-looking woman so she can come and bring me that fruit, and I ate it. It's your fault. No repentance. No, hey, God, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Oh, God, please forgive me for what I did. No, the woman you gave me, she made me to eat it. That's pitiful, ain't it? Oh, but then God turns to the woman and says, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. The serpent beguiled me. The devil tricked me, and I did eat. That's, as a matter of fact, that is the first tendency we're going to talk about today. The tendency to blame the devil. Or in other words, the devil tricked me, so it's not my fault. Oh, the devil tricked me, so it's not my fault that I did what I did. We think we might get the slide working again. Go down to verse 14. I want you to see something here. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I want you to see something here. I want you to see that even the devil does do things, and God does hold him personally responsible for what he does. Praise God. So you see that here. God does hold the devil personally responsible for what he does. However, when you read further down, God will also hold you personally responsible for what you do. Oh, you got it. That's what I want y'all. This was so good. See that nice little book up there? Anyway. So, God holds the devil personally responsible for what he does, but he also holds you and I personally responsible for what we do. And so, when you read further down, in I think it's verse 18, verse 16, it says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over it." You see, she was culpable. Yes, the devil tricked her. Yes, the devil tricks people today. Yes, the devil will trip you up. But guess what? God still holds you personally responsible for what you do in reaction to what the devil does. Amen? If you get tricked, if you get deceived, guess who God holds responsible? You. He says it's your fault. You don't believe that? Let's look at another passage of scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression." The devil tricked me. Yeah, he did. But guess what? Bible says you still sin. The Bible still acknowledged Eve had sinned. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. I know this is a sobering message, but you got to see this, because you can't say, "Okay, I was tricked. I didn't know any better." You can know better. See, Americans, I can understand some countries where the Bible is not allowed, you know, where people, some Muslim countries, you bring a Bible there, you are good as dead. In some communist countries, you got to sneak Bibles in there, and you can go to jail, be tortured and tormented for bringing a Bible into some countries. But here in America, we have no excuse. We got Bibles on top of Bibles. You go to any Christian bookstore, even any regular bookstore, and you will see multitudes of study Bibles. I mean, every famous minister I know, or almost every famous minister I know, seems to have their own personal study Bible. You got to get this study Bible. I mean, me and my wife was watching evangelist on TV a couple of nights ago, and he was saying, "You need to get this Bible. You need to call up right now." And he said, "You need to set whatever money you need to set aside and get this." I'm like, so you know, I have his study Bible already. So I'm like, you know, your study Bible ain't that much different from anybody else's. I mean, so. You know, you got multitudes of study Bibles. You got multitudes of English translations. I mean, everybody's got to have their own English translation. So you have, in America, this just, we're just without excuse for ignorance. We can't say, "Well, I didn't know any better." You can get a Bible. Can't afford one? Oh my God! You can go to Dollar Tree and get one for $1. Yes. You can't even afford a dollar? hundreds of people giving away Bibles for free. There's just no excuse for ignorance here in the good old USA. So look at Revelation 20. It says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive,
deceive.
That means to trick the nation. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. God, Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And when it went on the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, I want you to see something. Satan is indeed culpable for what he does. He is responsible for the trickery he does to people. But guess what? God didn't just devour Satan. He devoured every last one of those people that followed the devil's deception. Amen? So that means that you and I are held responsible. God doesn't turn a blind eye and say, well, he was deceived, I'll let it go this time. No. God expects you to know better. Praise God. The Bible in many places, especially in the New Testament, tells us, exhorts us, commands us not to fall into deception. See, Eve, she had opportunity to evaluate what the devil was saying to her. She could have consulted her husband. She could have, instead of just looking at the tree and say, hey, yeah, it does look good. Let me have some. She could have went to Adam and said, Adam, the serpent over here is telling me that the tree is going to make us wise. What do you think? And Adam could have given her the word of God. But no, she fell into the deception. See, what you got to do, it doesn't matter where the information is coming from. You need to evaluate it. You need to compare it to what the word of God is saying. Praise God. Amen. You don't accept what somebody says. I don't care who they are. I don't care how many degrees they have. I don't care how many miracles they've had in their ministry. I don't care how large your church is. You need to evaluate whatever a person is saying according to what this book's saying. I don't care how great of a speaker they are, how wonderful of a teacher they are. You need to evaluate whatever they're saying according to this book. In Jonestown, many people drunk poison Kool-Aid because they fell into deception. Do not excuse your sin by saying, the devil tricked me. Amen? We've got numerous Bible study resources. I mean, if you don't know how to study your Bible, there are books that teach you how to study the Bible. We got a book in the back, How to Study the Bible. I mean, there is so many things. All right. The next one. The devil tempted me. What was I to do? I'm weak. See, the devil does tempt people. He does entice. But you know what? You are still responsible. See, I got a book that's coming out hopefully in another month. It's called The Tempter, His Tactics and How to Take Him Out. And the Bible in a number of places gives him the title, The Tempter. He's got a number of titles. He's an accuser. He's an afflicter. He is a liar, a deceiver. And he is also a tempter. Praise God. Just like God has many titles, healer, provider, things like that. Satan also has titles. He's a thief, the number of titles. One of his titles is tempter. Why is he called the tempter in a number of parts of the scriptures? It's because he specializes in bringing temptation your way. Nonetheless, James chapter 1, verse 14 says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Say his own lust.
His own lust.
Say his own lust.
His own lust.
Every every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Yes, the devil is behind most of our temptations. But you and I can only fall into temptation or yield to temptation when we allow lust to take place in our lives. Praise God.
Amen.
See, there's some things the devil cannot tempt me with. For example, he can't put a homosexual in front of me and say, hey, don't he look good? Because I'm not tempted by that. He can't put a bottle of liquor in front of me and say, hey, let's have a drink. See, I'm not tempted by that. Now bring some fine mamma jamma my way. And then I'm in the battle. No, I'm serving my Lord. I love my wife. I love Jesus. But see, if I fall into it, then I can't blame nobody but me. Amen? That's the same thing with you. You are tempted of your own lust, and you are enticed. Yes, the devil is behind the temptation. He specializes in temptation. His target is to destroy you, destroy your life, tear you apart. However, you, when you yield to it, are in your own lust and temptation, and you falling in because of you. Praise God. What you can do, we looked at it last week, or the week before, I think. If you turn to Matthew 26:41, you don't have to turn there right now, but Jesus said, pray that ye enter not into temptation. You need to be praying. You need to be spending time in the presence of God. You need to be getting into this book. Jesus himself needed to know the word of God in order to resist the devil. See, some of y'all think that all you got to do is say, hey, be gone. You need to know God's word. When temptation comes, you need to stand on God's word. I mean, we dealt with sexual immorality this morning in the Sunday school. The scriptures that Pastor Krista gave you, you need to take those scriptures whenever sexual lust comes your way. And you need to say, hey, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. I will not do that. Mm-hmm. You need to take that scripture and you need to speak it out loud. You need to confess it. Don't be saying, well, I'm strong, I can handle it, and then find yourself in sin and say, oh, what was I to do? I'm so weak. No. You stand on the word of God. Some of y'all have heard my testimony. I don't know if I should tell the story again, but I've told y'all about the time we were downtown witnessing. This is about over 20-something years ago, and we saw a brother going into the bar. And he ran into the bar, and so we decided we was going to go rescue him. So we ran into the bar after him. And while my friend sat down next to him to talk some sense into him, nice, beautiful, young Filipino girl got up in almost nothing and started doing her thing. See, now I could have been a fool and said, hey, I'm strong. I can handle this. But I knew myself. Mm-hmm. I said, look, bro. I'm going outside. I'll be praying later. I went outside and I started praying. I said, I'm not going to be a fool and sit here. Call myself going to rescue this brother and then find myself creeping down there a couple hours later. Praise God. You've got to know how to resist temptation. Matter of fact, Pastor Christick read the scripture to earlier. The Bible says, flee! Amen?
Amen?
That's what I did. I left it as fast as I could. Now, if I remember, I don't know if I told this story yet. If I did, y'all just forgive me. But I remember when I was in Korea one time. I had just gotten to Korea, and I had missed my honey. And I wanted to go see her so bad. And so I went to another base, and was they didn't have any flights going out that day. So I got stuck in having to sit in a motel. And so, you know, I was sitting in the hotel and I got hungry. And so I knew there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Imagine that, a Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant in Korea. So I was going down to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, granted, I haven't been with my wife in a good long time. So I'm walking down, but unfortunately, the only path to the Kentucky Fried Chicken was to go through an area of ill repute. And so I went through the area, and I had all these young women trying to grab me. Oh, come on, just a little bit, just a little bit. And, you know, I had to shake them off. And went to go get my chicken. Then I had to go back in it at it again. So I'm just fighting them off and going back to my hotel. And so I said, I'm not going down there no more. I was ready to fast and starve myself. But later that night, the brother got hungry. I wanted to eat. And so I said, Lord, I'm hungry, but I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, take your Bible with you and go down there. And when they ask you, do you want a girl? You just say, no, but do you want Jesus?
Yeah.
So I started walking down there, and sure enough, they came after me. Oh, you want girl? You want girl? I said, no, but do you want Jesus? They backed away. I went, got my chicken, started walking back. None of them touched me after that. They left me alone. Glory to God. Sometimes the word of God works without you even opening the book. Glory to Jesus. So you can resist temptation. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. The next one is, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. All right. Well, you know, y'all heard of Flip Wilson, haven't you? He was a comedian back in the 70s. He had a catchphrase that he used to play. Sometimes in his comedy skit, he was playing a woman. I can't remember the name of the woman.
Geraldine,
yes, right. And, you know, whenever she did something wrong and somebody would confront her, he said, oh, the devil made me do it. And everybody would just start cracking up. I never saw anything funny about it, but I guess he got famous from that little line. Well, it's unfortunate that a lot of people actually believe that. I can't help myself because the devil made me do it. But see, that's not true. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield, say yield.
Yield.
Say yield.
Yield.
Yielding is a voluntary action. It is an act of your will. It is of your volition. So know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So it is your choice whether you obey God or whether you obey sin. And the and of course, when you obey sin, you are obeying the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
The Christian has to learn to put on the armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. See, God tells you to put it on. He doesn't say, I'm going to put it on you for you. He tells you to put it. It is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to yield to God and obey him, or yield to the devil and obey him. But you must put on the whole armor of God. And Romans chapter 13 is another passage that talks about the armor of God, or the armor of light. And it tells you to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, and to walk honestly and make no provision for the flesh. You are told that you are responsible for whether or not you make provision for the flesh, whether you put on the armor or don't put it on, whether you have casted off the works of darkness or whether you didn't. You are fully responsible for your actions. Praise God.
Amen.
Yielding is a voluntary action. It is not something you can blame the devil. Well, I couldn't help myself. Yes, you can help yourself. I will never accept that lie from anybody. That's why you heard me. You know, people say they fall into adultery or they smoke in a crack pipe or something. I made a mistake. No, that was not a mistake. A mistake is when I trip and bump into my wife. A voluntary act is when I take a pipe, mix all the chemicals or whatever they do, put it all in the pipe, light the match, or whatever, or the needle or whatever, and then 2 days later, Pastor, I made a mistake. No, you did not. You yielded. You volunteered. You gave yourself over to that thing. You could have said no to it. Praise God. There is no such thing as something being irresistible. How many of you have ever seen a man or woman that you found irresistible? I haven't. Now, I found some women I thought were very nice looking. I've seen some cars I thought were very nice looking. I've seen a lot of things that I thought were nice looking, but they were not irresistible. I did not have to go up to any woman and say, "Baby, you are just irresistible. Can I have your phone number?" Hmm. "Baby, what's your phone number?" I mean, you know what? You don't have to do that.
No.
It's not necessary. You can't say that the sin is irresistible. I couldn't help myself. It can be resisted. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you are fully comfortable for what you do. All right. So the next one, I'm sorry. The next one is, my sin is the result of demonism. I need deliverance before I can stop sinning. Now, listen. I believe that people get demonized. I believe in demon possession. How do I know? I have dealt with it. I have been in the deliverance ministry. I've even had... Let me share a story with you. I really don't like to share often. Matter of fact, I don't even think I've shared it, except with intimate friends. But there was a time a few years ago, about 10 years ago, where I just had a problem remembering things. I mean, I would be trying to talk to a person, and all of a sudden, my mind would just go blank. And I didn't understand what was going on, and it was becoming frequent and very frustrating. And so around that time, a man of God, Dr. J.R. Roper, was visiting our congregation. He's a prophet of God and an evangelist. And so I volunteered to take a week off and be his armor bearer. Drove him around, drove him to the gym and to all his appointments, escorted him to all his meetings, and Pastor Christopher would laugh at me. I carried his briefcase and I carried his Bible, just was being a servant to the man. And so and as I was sitting there, I never even shared with him what the struggle I was having. You know, it was something I didn't really want. I was so embarrassed by it, I didn't want to share it with anybody. Why? But it was still frustrating me. Why do I keep going blank whenever I'm trying to talk to somebody about something or to deal with an issue? And then as I was sitting there doing one of the services, and you know, he got finished preaching and he started praying for people, he just came over to me and he said, "Troy, the Lord wants to reward you for all the service you've been doing this week." And one of the things, and he said, your mind's been going blank at certain times lately. And he said, "It's because there's an evil spirit that's attached itself to you. I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus." And you know, the thing left me. Mm-hmm. It just left. Yeah. And that was my reward. I was hoping God would prosper me and give me some money, but... And he also gave me a word of knowledge. You know, God said that one of the things I desire, you know, I always call myself a genius and all that other stuff. And God said the genius is in you through the Holy Spirit, and he will start bringing the genius out of you more and more. And you know, there's a lot of people who think I'm so super duper smart. It's only because of the Holy Spirit. It's not because of me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But the thing is that there was an evil spirit that attached itself to me, and I got delivered that night. And now, last night that thing almost tried to happen to me again, but I commanded it to go and it left. But the thing is that you, regardless of whether you are being demonized or whether you're being attacked by demons, is really not an excuse for you to sin. You cannot come and say, "Well, my sin is because I'm demonized or I'm demon possessed and I can't help myself." No, you can help yourself. And again, I'm telling you that I do believe that people get demonized and we do need to help people. But listen to this. The devil has been sinning since the beginning. The person who continues to sin belongs to the devil. the Son of God, Christ, came for this, to destroy the devil's works. That's the easy to read version of 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. You need to acknowledge what Christ has done for you and get yourself free. Praise God. Now listen, there was others who were possessed by the devil, but guess what? God held them culpable. Elimus, the sorcerer, the Bible says that he was possessed, that he was, Paul called him, he said, you child of the devil. Now, he didn't say, okay, you child of the devil, I understand you, because you're possessed by the devil, that you can't help what you're doing. He said, no. The hand of God is now upon you. You will be blind from this day forward. In other words, he was held culpable for his sin. Ananias and Sapphira. The Bible said, you know, we'll get to them in a minute, but they were held culpable. Judas was held culpable for his sin. He was held responsible for what he did. The Bible says that the devil entered into Judas. He entered into Judas. But Jesus still said, Judas, why do you betray me with a kiss? In other words, he said, you are fully responsible for what you're doing, betraying me like that, you traitor. Saul was definitely demon-possessed. Tried to kill David. But the Bible says he was held responsible. Cain, he was demonized, but still held culpable for his sins. Now, you look at Acts chapter 5, one of the things that Peter says to Ananias, Ananias, why did you let Satan rule your thoughts to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep part of the money for yourself? See, it's up to you to allow, whether you allow Satan to rule you or not. Amen?
Amen.
If you sin, you can't say, well, the devil had control of me. I couldn't stop myself. Well, guess what? You're going to die and probably go to hell for what you're blaming the devil on. What you're blaming on the devil. I don't want to take that chance. How about you?
No.
No. So don't let's get away from, hey, I was demon possessed. That's why I'm dealing with this. How much time I got? Oh, I got some. All right, we almost over our time. But we started late. I am under a generational curse because of an unknown sin of my ancestors. This is why I do what I do. Now, earlier today, we dealt with generational curses during the communion. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor does believe that there is a certain amount of truth to this teaching. You see, if you remember, Abraham did the same sin twice. Gave his wife away to some ungodly king. First he gives his wife away to Abimelech. Says, tell him you're my sister. Because if you don't, you're so beautiful, they're going to kill me. So he gives his wife away, and God had to intervene and say, hey, you touch that woman, you're a dead man. So, and then he got his wife back. A few years later, he goes to Pharaoh and does the exact same thing. All right, so Abraham, he messed up. But then his son Isaac does the exact same thing as his father Abraham. Isaac goes and says, oh, they're going to kill me if they find out you're my wife, so tell them that you're my sister. And so she does, and then God has to intervene again and stop him from doing something to his wife, violating her. So there is a certain amount of truth to this. You know, that the sins of the father sometimes comes upon the sons. But see, what you've got to learn to do is understand that you are still culpable for what you do. And you can resist sin, especially if you are a Christian. You can't say, well, this happened to me because of the generational curse of my family. Because my father was going around messing around with women, then I'm doing the same thing. It's just like father, like son. Oh, yeah, I started out, but even before I was saved, I was blaming my father for my sins. Well, my father did this. This is why I got this problem. No, I had the problem because I was doing it. Amen. I had to find out who I am in Christ Jesus. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Exodus 20, 4 through 6 talks about the generational curse. It talks about how the fact that if you worship idols, then God will visit the iniquity upon the third and fourth generations. But then, if you go down to verse 6, it says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So if you find yourself in a generation that keeps God's commandments, then you should no longer declare yourself under that curse. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And if you are the first generation, then you start this new generation. You say, hey, this from here is going to be the generation that begins to keep God's commandments. That's exactly what I did. And I don't do what my father did. Praise God. So, we want to get through this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Now you remember when we took communion earlier, we declared that the blood of Jesus washed us white as snow. And so we took authority over all curses that were in our lives, all covenants that were made beforehand, and we declared that we were under the new covenant, the covenant that was made by the blood of Jesus. You need to stand on the blood of Jesus, the authority of the blood, the fact that your past has been cleansed from all sin. You are now under a new covenant. The old covenant, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were established under a new covenant. The curse that we were to endure because of our past sins, or maybe the sins of anybody else, has been broken through the shed blood of Jesus Christ in his dying upon the cross. He became a curse for us. He took upon himself the curse. He was our substitute. We should not have to bear what Jesus has already borne. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why I believe so much in healing, because the Bible says that he himself bore my sickness and carried my infirmity, and by his stripes we were healed. See, he bore my sicknesses. He carried my infirmities. I don't have to carry them. Praise God.
Amen.
Put your yoke upon him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
He's a what?
New creature.
Old things are passed away." Say, old things.
Old things.
Are passed away. Say, behold.
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 All things are become new.
All things are become new.
You see, your past has been wiped clean. The blood of Jesus wiped your past clean. That means anything anybody has done, anything, any covenants you have made, you need to be, if the devil continues to attack you and try to tempt you into sin, you can say, I'm free from that. I don't have to go out and commit adultery just because my daddy did it, or my mama did it. I don't have to be a drunkard just because Uncle Joe and Grandpa Louie was a drunkard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be that way. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh yeah, I know. I was fornicating, and I was making all kinds of covenants with all kinds of women. But those covenants are now broken because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
My past has been wiped away. The slate is clean. He took all the ordinances and he nailed them to the cross. All the ordinances that were against me have been nailed to the cross. My sin is on the cross. And if I commit new sins, the blood of Jesus, if I repent, say I repent.
Amen.
And repent doesn't mean, okay, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and then go back and do it again. Repent means to turn away from it. If I repent, then God will cleanse me from any new sins. He wipes the whole thing clean. Praise God.
Amen.
You need to learn to resist the devil. You need to learn to declare your freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen. And don't give up until you see it manifested fully in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Oh, I wish I could deal more with that, with that, but my time is short. We're gonna go fully into these type of things in the near future, because we really need to deal with a lot of this stuff. We need to deal with the gifts of the Spirit. We need to deal with tongues and interpretations and things like that. Many of you, I know a couple months ago, when we were teaching on the baptism of the Spirit, and I asked for some of y'all to pray, and some of you said, oh, I already got the Spirit. You said some of you didn't want anything to do with those tongues. But let me share something with you. I remember when I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak with other tongues. And my wife thought I was crazy, but she got it a few months later, glory to God. But the thing that blessed me the most was, it was a couple months later when I was, because I used to pray in my room, and we lived next door to another Christian couple. Imagine that. But they went to a different church. And but their mother worked with me in the office down the hall. And so she comes to my office one day, and she says, Troy, let me ask you a question. You believe in speaking in tongues? I said, I sure do. She said, let me tell you a story, tell you something. My daughter was saying that one day she was in the room trying to sleep, and these demons were walking around in her room, and she was scared, you know. And she said that all of a sudden she heard you next door just praying in tongues. And she said, as soon as you started praying, the demons just disappeared. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Them tongues are powerful. Yep. You just don't say, okay, I already got the Spirit. Yes, you do have, if you were born again, yes, you do have the Holy Spirit. But you need an extra boost of power. Yes. Glory to God. You need a full, you need a fresh infilling. You need a fresh baptism. Now, you know, tongues doesn't make you a Christian. You know, we don't believe that you become a Christian just because you speak in other tongues. And you know, there's some mighty men of God who were born again who have done great things for God, and they never spoke in tongues in their life. But I'm telling you that if you can have this, you should get it. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, there's some things that we really need to deal with. I only touched on the subject a couple months ago, but we're going to deal with it in detail in the near future. There's a lot of things we need to deal with. But see, until this church can start walking in the power of God, we're going to have the problems that we have. We're going to keep dealing with the same issues over and over and over again. And I repent because I just haven't been as bold in declaring certain things. But I'm getting to the place now where I just don't care no more. I mean, I don't care about how, you know, what I think people will think if I say certain things. I tried to build all of you up from a foundation and try to teach you little by little, and try to ease you into certain things, because some of you have just, you're either just coming off the streets and coming to church, or you've been to other churches that didn't teach you right and didn't teach you the Bible. But now we got to go full force into certain things. Praise God.
Amen.
You got to understand it's a power that is made available to you through Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Y'all don't leave now, because don't say I ain't coming back to the church no more. We're not going to throw it on you, okay? We're not going to make you feel condemned if you don't believe the way we believe. We're just going to teach you from the Bible, and it'll be up to you to receive it or not. Praise God. And nobody's going to look down on you. Nobody's going to think you're less spiritual because you don't speak in other tongues, or you don't believe in casting out demons or things like that. We're not going to look at you as less spiritual. Let me tell you something. I know some tongue-talking devils, okay? I know some people that speak in tongues, and they are just as evil as I don't know what. And I know some people that don't speak in tongues, and they're some of the most wonderful people I've ever met. But I tell you what, I'd rather have both the love of God and the power of God together. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to deal with these issues, you know. And if you want it, but if you can't wait till we teach it and you want to learn about it soon, I mean, what? Tracy came to me and wanted me to talk to her about it. I'm going to talk with her about it soon, one-on-one. But anybody else you want to receive from God, I'll be happy to have a one-on-one with you and share with you. Most of my ministry to people who receive this has been one-on-one, because I have an easier time to explain it to them. But you got to receive these things. That way you have power to resist the enemy. You have power to stand against him. If you don't know what else to pray, you can be able to just pray in a spiritual language and say, oh my God, I don't know what to pray about this situation. Oh, my nanda de silva honanda. I'm telling you, I got myself out of many situations just by praying in other tongues. Glory to God. So, listen, stop blaming the devil. Stop blaming other people. Stop blaming God. And next week you're going to learn why you shouldn't blame your circumstances, your mental condition, or your ethnicity. Amen?
Amen.
Stand to your feet. We're way over our time. Did you get anything out of this?
Amen.
Glory to God.